Jesus. So we're continuing our series on joy in the face of trials. Joy in the face of trials. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joy in the face of trials. What a time for this series. We need to hear it. We need to understand how to do it. And we can definitely put it into instant practice as we're facing trials. I'm not saying on every hand, but facing trials pretty good here. Look at the Gospel of Luke by way of review. The Gospel of Luke. Before we do that, hold on 1 second here. Amen. It's all shut down. I mean, it just, now the Microsoft Word document is not working. Amen. Amen. We're just going to just take our time. We are no time schedule. We have to be out of the building by a certain time, so we're just going to persevere through all of this. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. Okay. So let's begin again by talking about the definition of joy. Just as a reminder what joy is. Remember, joy in the midst of or in the face of trial. Just some review. Remember, the kingdom of God consists of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, glory be to God. Remember that our joy is to mature, to completeness, in Jesus' name, glory to God. I'm going to end this and then just start over. Thank you, Lord. Our joy is to mature. Lord Jesus said that he tells us that he's telling us these things that our joy may be full. So we aren't just supposed to have joy just a little bit in drips and drabs, but it is to be full, and that's a blessing. It means to be mature, complete joy. Even ministry is designed for joy. We've gone over that. So let's define joy again. Joy, again, is the deep down sense of well-being, comfort and security and safety that abides in the heart, which is the inner man, of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord. Can you see why that would bring some tremendous joy to know that all is well between yourself and the Lord? Once you understand that, there is a great sense of joy, because we know that there's nothing in the world that could make things unwell, if you will, between yourself and the Lord. Joy always indicates a feeling of deep-seated, deep-rooted, entrenched, ingrained from the heart happiness that is based on spiritual realities. It's not a passing, fleeting experience. We talked about happiness is not joy. Happiness is based on happenings. Joy is based on spiritual, eternal realities. Joy is not an experience that comes from favorable circumstances or human emotion. Thank God for that. Because it is grounded in God's word. And as a result of that, nothing human or circumstantial can add to it or detract from it. That's good news. And we're very glad of that. Joy is a gift of God to believers. It's a part of God's own nature. We went over all of those. We talked about Matthew 5, blessed and fortunate and well off is the person who's been persecuted, recognizing that they persecuted the prophets who were before them. Look at Luke. We'll pick up with Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 22. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've gone over this, but I want to look at it a little closer. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. For your reward is greater than heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. I kind of want to go back over the 22nd and 23rd verses. And as I said earlier, it is really a proper time for this teaching because of what we're facing now here as both black people and as Christians. And I just thank God that, you know, we don't have the right, if you will, to act any kind of way because we're feeling some type of way. We are still Christians first and foremost. And as a result, we must continue to be holy in our comportment. We still must bring God praise and honor and glory. And I just believe that these teachings are a reminder to keep us in that vein. So he says blessed, which means fortunate, well off, favored, to be favorably placed to receive something good. I love that. An inward contentedness that is not affected by circumstances. A state of joy and well-being that does not depend on physical and or temporary circumstances. That is blessed. Are you when men hate you, abhor or are hostile or bitter towards you, and ostracize you, give you the cold shoulder, to exclude you, to banish you, to shun, ignore, and snub you, and insult you, which means to abuse, to offend, to be rude, to slight you, and scorn or sneer and disdain and disrespect and ridicule your name, your person, your character, as evil, wicked, bad, worthless, to disrespect, ridicule your name, your person, your character as wicked, bad, and worthless, all for the sake of the Son of Man. Now that's key right there. There's something. Verse 23 says, be glad in that day. What day is that? The day that you are hated, ostracized, insulted, and your name scorned. And not only to be glad in that day, but leap for joy. Leap for joy is one word. It means to skip, to spring about, to gallop. Why? For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, their fathers, who are persecuting you, used to treat the prophets. When you read this, I wonder what's coming to your mind. It's almost like we read it, but we're kind of disconnected from it. Like, do we really believe? Like, Jesus, are you serious? If you don't slow down and read this and just blow through it, you won't ever get the full import. You will never feel the weight of what he's commanding us to do. And by the way, it is a command. It is a present active imperative. Meaning present means what? Ongoing. Active. You're to do it. Imperative. It's a command. If you don't slow it down, you'll blow through this and go on to the next chapter or close your Bible and move on. But if you land on it, it makes you scratch your head. Was Jesus crazy? Did he really mean to say this? Did he not make a mistake? We are to rejoice in that day. In case we were to read and maybe get a little confused, he didn't just say, be glad or rejoice. He adds, in that day. He was very specific as to when we are to rejoice. In the day that you're being hated, ostracized, insulted, and your name scorned as evil. We're in that day. So this is a great time to put this to practice right now. But I beg of you, you got to understand it's going to be done by faith and not by a grit your teeth anointing. You can't go out of here determined. No, because you'll fail. We need you, Father God. Yes, we need you. Yes, sir. So I love the song, God of Miracles. The song says, talking about we need your supernatural love. With that verse, but no, supernatural love. Yeah.
To break through.
There it is. We need your supernatural love to break through in our hearts, if you will. I know we have the love of God in our hearts, but we need it to break out. And love and embrace all what's going on. Because Jesus is not joking. And sometimes we read way too fast. And we don't feel the weight of it, Father God. And we need you to help us to land and feel the weight of what we're being commanded to do. And not only commanded to do, but to do and keep on doing. Because it's present. Present means it's ongoing. He said, rejoice and be glad and keep on rejoicing and keep on being glad in that day. Amen. The day that you are hated. To go over those synonyms. The day that you are bored, that you're being treated with hostility and bitterness. The day where people are giving you the cold shoulder, are excluding, banishing, shunning, and ignoring and snubbing you. The day when you're being insulted, abused, offended, being treated rudely and being slighted. The day that your name is being sneered at with disdain, disrespect, and ridicule, meaning your very person and character, as evil, wicked, bad, and worthless. In that day, you are to be glad. And not only that, and leap for joy. Jesus, are you really serious? Leap for joy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And leap for joy. Really want this video getting out. Thank you, Lord. And leap for joy. Again, leap for joy in the Greek is one word. And it means to skip, to spring about, to gallop, to literally leap for joy. Your gladness, my gladness, your joy, my joy, is to be such that we are leaping and skipping and springing about and galloping. Help us to get it, Father God. Help us not to see that this is just some verse we're reading, but that this is really a command from the Lord to us in this day. What a great time. I know this, our flesh is not going to feel it, but what a great time to be a black Christian in America at this time. If I can use my algebraic law, the law of algebra, two negatives equals a positive. That's that. It's according to the society, it's a negative to be black and it's a negative to be a Christian. That's a double negative. In algebraic mathematical terms, that's a positive. Because we have an opportunity to bring him great glory and great honor. Because for that reason, we are and were created. To bring him glory. And in our blackness, we have an opportunity to do the extraordinary. The extraordinary.
Thank you, Lord.
How can you be so joyful? How can you be so happy? What is it? What is it in? Because that becomes an evangelistic opportunity. Mm-hmm. How can you? And being a black woman Christian, that's a triple negative according to society.
That's right.
And how can we bring him joy? Because it's not within ourselves. Joy is not up to circumstances, because the circumstances are saying, hey, you ought to be somewhere popping Xannies. Mm-hmm. You ought to be seeing therapists, multiple, because of what's going on. This is a great time to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. And it's a great time to be a black pastor, ministering to God's black children.
Amen.
I relish this time. Because I know that I got words from God to help my black people, his children.
Amen.
You can truly be helped. Not with rah-rah talk and you know, legislative changes on the horizon and people are telling to defund the police. That's not real change. That's not going to bring you joy. It's not going to touch joy, because joy is not based on circumstances. And that's a real life example. You hear me say the definition week after week, but that's one way of applying it. It's not based on circumstances. It's not about defunding the police. It's not about bringing sweeping changes throughout the criminal justice system. Cool, if it happens, that's nice. But you don't base your joy on that.
Mm-hmm.
As we learned on Sunday, because it's still going to be run by, most for the most part, sinful people. Our hope is in you, Jesus,
yes.
Our risen King,
yes.
And ascended Lord.
Yes.
He's on high, y'all. He's not on the cross.
Thank you, Jesus.
Even death itself couldn't keep you in the grave.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen is right. Amen. We serve a living God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We serve an almighty, all-powerful God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we need to be reminded of that.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. This thing ain't working, so I can walk around for once in my life. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
We need to say loud, pause, and calmly think and meditate on this. Amen. Because we've been thinking and meditating on what's been happening for the last 2 months. Throwing the pandemic last 3 months. The enemy is trying to get our mind off of the things of the Word of God. He's trying to distract us. You understand what I'm saying? Because you got family members, you got family members, you got friends. There's a lot of conversation concerning this. And there's a lot of wrong conversation depending on who you're around. And that wrong conversation, you keep hearing, if you keep hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, it can affect you. But the Word of God lets us know and reminds us that we must not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil what?
With
good. We're children of the Most High God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus not crazy. Let me answer the question. No, he's not crazy. No, he didn't make a mistake. He said it knowing he was under a crooked leader. Himself, Caesar, who would be involved in the unjust, illegal trials and eventual murder of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Jesus here. Paul, in Romans 13, let every soul be subject, was under Nero. They're not our Lord. Do you understand that? We're like, They're not our Lord. They're not our master. We obey them because our master said to do so.
That's right.
Not about them. Just like we try to tell the wives. Wives, you do for your husband, love on him and obey him as unto the Lord. Not because of him. Mm-hmm. He may be a bum. Miss Cheryl shook her head. I'm trying to call y'all Miss Cheryl. But we know it's true, right? We know too many of our black women just with bums. Let's just be real with it. It's just real talk. And I'm talking about Christian black women. But in spite of, God made a word. Whenever a pastor, punks out and feels so sorry for the people that they don't give them the truth, at that moment I'm compromising my position. And I'm no good for you. Because you're wondering, well, what else is he going to tell me? Is he going to do this on something else? I need truth. No matter how I feel when I walk about here, I need to know I'm walking out with the truth. I'll deal with the rest later. That's what pastors must do. They must rely on the Holy Spirit to take the truth that the pastor has the courage to teach from the Word of God, and then let the Holy Spirit, late in the midnight hour, bring that truth to life in the heart of his people. Don't stop, and this is not to this to the pastor. Don't stop trusting God.
Amen.
Speak the truth, speaking on time truth.
Amen.
That's crucial. Sister Rolanda, always pray to me to speak a word in due season. See, I said, Lord, let's speak to him and let it be a word in due season.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning it's got to be the right truth. Truth is always to be spoken. I know this is Eskimo, but truth is to always be spoken. But remember, there are all kinds of truths in the Word of God. And we need to hear God as to which truth we are to speak. Does that make sense? Because to speak this particular truth at this time, it is true. But that's not what needs to be spoken at the time. Maybe it's this truth that needs to be spoken from God's word. So we must speak the truth, next to words, in love. Amen. And so, we pastors must be strong, speaking the right truth in love, and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Because God gives the increase to that truth. That's been planted. But if it's not been planted because the pastor got scared, he didn't want to offend anybody, then what does the Holy Spirit, because eventually you're going to leave this sanctuary. And you're going to go home to your life.
Yeah.
You're going to sleep in your bed. And you got to deal with your thoughts. And then at that time, if truth has been spoken, that's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit in the midnight hour in your thoughts, while you're struggling with your thoughts in your life, in your bed. That only God knows that you're struggling with. He can bring that truth to bring a resolve.
Yes.
Not necessarily a resolution to the end of your problem, but a resolution to help you in the midst of the problem.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Remember, Sister Landa has told us many, 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 many times that it's not about, per se, getting rid of the problem, but it's about the Lord God changing us in the middle of the problem. To the point it can even seem like the problem is left, but it's still the same thing. It's just that your response to the problem is so different now.
Yes.
The Lord is showing me. And that's what I'm talking about us as black Christians. I want us to let the Lord, let the Word of God just saturate our heart and minds. Let this hard word right here that Jesus is speaking in Luke, let it just saturate our heart and mind. Meditate on this. Lord, show me how to be glad. And to the point that I'm leaping for joy. And I don't want it to be fake. I want it to come from my heart. How can we do that? How can that really happen? Where I really am joyful to the point that I'm leaping and skipping and galloping
yes.
and springing about for real, for real.
Yes.
Father God, show us
how to do that from your word. That leads us to the next part of this. How can the believer have such joy in the midst of difficult and troubling times? The good news is it can be done, because every single command, every single imperative, which is commands that Jesus gives, that God gives, we can obey, and we are expected to obey. I know you heard me say that for years and years, but say it again. Every single command we can obey. There's not one command that God gives us that we cannot obey. Can we get the church to say amen? Yeah. Not one. So, since we can obey it, then our Father God expects us to obey it. Father knows best. That's 100% true. Because our Father God knows best. That's why you just don't go praying, you know, Lord, get them out of that job. You know, this Lord God getting that, maybe we have to right where they need to be. It's in that difficult job with that terrible boss. Because he's doing a sanctifying work, a purifying work, yes, in the refiner's fire.
Yes.
Burning off the dross, purifying them in that job. That's why I pray, Lord, your will be done. And if it's your will for them to leave this job with this old crazy boss, we'll do that. But if not, keep them on in there and show them how to be strong in the middle of this fire. Mm-hmm. And refine them for your glory.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, refine us as black Christians for your glory.
Amen.
For your glory. For your honor. It's all about you. We embrace our blackness. We embrace us being saved as Christians. Because they both are very good, because you caused both to happen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for it. And we embrace being in America. Because this is where you would have us to be. It's all about you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. It's all about him. Help us to retool our thinking right now in the name of Jesus. How can the believer have such joy? Have real, leaping, galloping, skipping joy in the midst of trials. How? It begins with the what? The mind. Remember, we went over this, but that's why, that's good. That's okay, guys. 2 weeks ago. It's still review, actually. It begins with the mind. Mindset has to change. Mindset. Your mindset has to change. My mindset has to change. There's a renewal of the mind on the horizon that has to take place for this to have any chance of happening. Does that make sense? The first thing we need to do is to train and develop our minds to focus on things above. Where? Things above. See, racism and police brutality and George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and defund the police and criminal justice system and mass incarceration, all of that is earthly. And every last one of that is just trying to swallow our complete attention. We need to train and develop our minds to focus on things above and not to focus on the things of the earth. Focus. Focus is a key word. We're not saying totally ignore it.
Right.
But don't let it be primary. Don't let it be our focus. Let it be in the peripheral. Let it be on the back burner. Yeah, I see that. I hear it. But thank you, Lord. You got me. My command, Lord, I'm trying to figure out this. Be glad and leap for joy. I'm going to keep focusing on that. Not to focus on things on the earth while you're in the middle of a trial. How? The first thing we need to do, I'm going to say it again, is to train and develop our minds to focus on things above and not to focus all things on the earth while you're in the middle of the trial. That's tough. But we got Word of God, indwelling Holy Spirit, power of God, love of God. When you put all that together and you put on the other things, armor of God, this can be done. Now, when you say, oh, that's daunting, that's kind of big, you're looking at it through your own strength. Like, how can I do that? You can't do that. But we got to remind ourselves that we can't do that. What we tend to do first and foremost is look at this through our own strength, through our own logic. How in the world are you going to leap for joy and I'm a black Christian woman here. Where are the leaping for joy going to come from? We're thinking of our own strength. Lord, help us to get beyond ourselves. That's why I say it takes faith. What does that mean? Trusting God, believing in God, relying on God, depending on God to bring us about. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, he'll walk you through it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord.
He'll say, start here, do this, do that, step by step by step. Next thing you're walking and leaping. I'm going to say, it may take you a year. I mean, I don't know. Let him guide, let him direct, let him lead. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He'll order you. It's going to begin with the mind. We need to train and develop our minds to focus on things above. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3 and 1. Lord, we just pray for all those who tune in that you'll get it to them some kind of way. In Jesus' name.
Aren't you taping it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm saying to those who may not know about it. The download. Colossians 3 and 1. Is this making sense to you initially? Because remember, the first thing we have to do is get it where? In our heads, and then eventually down into our hearts. The path to the heart is through the head. The path to the head is through the ears. You gotta hear it. Then it gets in here, meditate, gets down here. Okay? So that's what we're doing now. We're going through the process of hearing it, leading hopefully to getting it to your head, meaning you're understanding it, and then eventually putting it down in here. Okay? Colossians 3 and 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, and that is the tense that's in the Greek is in view of the fact that, meaning it's a settled deal, it's done. If seems conditional, but a better translation of it would be since you have been raised up, or in view of the fact that you have been raised up with Christ. I think King James has, if you then be risen with Christ. That if, it should be since, or in view of the fact that you have been raised up with Christ. It is a settled fact because we have been raised with Christ. What does that mean? We're saved. Raised up. What does that mean? Resurrected. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead, out from the dead of dead people around them, dead bodies. And we were resurrected out from spiritually dead people. And so in a sense, we were resurrected with him. It's saying we are born again. We're saved. And since you are saved or been raised or resurrected up with Christ, then here we go, present, active imperative. Keep seeking the things above. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The word seeking again is present, meaning it's ongoing, active, meaning you're doing it, and imperative, meaning that it is a command. When we say active means that you're doing it, you're to do this. Passive means something is happening to you, right? You're not doing anything, you're there, and something is happening to you. Like being born again. That's passive. Because God is doing the action to you. Passive means you're initiating the action. You're doing the action. So if you have to keep seeking those things above, you must do this. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. You must do this. I must do this. We must do this. Not only seek past tense one time only, but keep seeking. And you can see why. Because the things of this world are just hammering at our mind, hammering at our mind on a daily basis. And we are to combat that by continually seeking those things above. Does that make sense? Yeah. To seek, again, means to seek in order to find by thinking, meditating, reasoning. Thinking, meditating, reasoning to inquire into the things above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is resurrected. He ascended, Acts 1, took his seat at the right hand of God, the seat of power and authority. We know that Matthew 28, all power, all authority is given unto me. He's seated at the right hand of God. Focus on that. That's our high priest. That's our brother. That's our Lord. That's our master. He transcends all racism, all bigotry, all hatred, all discrimination, all sexism. Mm-hmm. He transcends all of that. Keep your focus on him. Let it begin there. I have in my notes here, the comment is, Paul here desires that Colossians, I love this word, preoccupy themselves with heaven. Remember we talk about focus? Preoccupy. Preoccupy means to absorb or engross to the exclusion of other things. Now that's being locked in. To be absorbed, to be engrossed in the things of heaven to the exclusion of other things. I mean, they take a seat way, way back. It means to concern oneself, to be consumed with, to immerse oneself. To concern oneself, to be consumed with, to immerse oneself. And what is that? With the things of heaven. That's what preoccupied means. To absorb, to engross, to the exclusion of other things, to concern oneself, to be consumed with, to immerse oneself with heaven. Does that make sense, Order Life?
Amen.
Is that not going to take a concerted, on purpose, intentional, determined effort to do so?
Absolutely.
That's part of the fight, y'all. It's part of the fight. Fight the good fight. It's a fight. It's a fight. We're in a fight right now. We're in a war. And the war is escalating. And I beg of you, get in your word more. Meditate the word more. But you have to make yourself do this. Your flesh is not going to just willingly say, okay, let's just go on. No. Your flesh is letting you call my cousin, let me call my auntie, let me call my nephew, my niece, and let me just kind of talk with them. It's easier to do. You can kind of feed into how I'm feeling in my flesh because I'm all in my feelings. And that's easier to do. It feels better. No, I don't have to really buffet my body, beat it black and blue, and subject it to rigid and harsh and stern discipline and make it my slave. It's easier just to kind of let it go and just call that person and kind of just feed my flesh. Mm-hmm. Your flesh don't want you to turn off the phones, turn off the TV, and put on the word. Mm-hmm. And sit down like you're doing now with a notebook and paper, just like you're doing now. If you can, remember to become engrossed, to be absorbent. Get pencil and paper and listen to the word like you're in church. Become completely engrossed. Turn the phone off for a half hour even. It's a concerted, deliberate, intentional effort that we must make. We are in a war, which we've always been in a war, but it's escalated over the last 3 months. Pandemic, civil unrest, racial racism has all just put it on notice, put us on blast. And the true people of God are going to ride to the front. And we're responsible because we're being taught. We're not in a church where we just go and get emotional, cry a little bit, feel good for a few moments, get back into the car, wonder what just happened? What am I going to do now? Because you know what always comes? That late in the midnight hour is going to always come. 2, 3 in the morning, you wake up out to sleep and you're all troubled and you're being attacked in your mind. It's going to be 99% of where the thing's going to come. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do then? What are you going to fall back on?
Right.
Here, we have the word to fall back on. And if you don't know how to do something, Lord, I was told today and reminded in Colossians 3:1 to seek those things above. How do I help me to do that right now? Do you think he'll answer that prayer at that moment? Yeah. That's your faith being exercised because you're at that moment, you're trusting in God. You're relying on God. Lord, I need you. I can't do this. That's why you can't get into opinions and theories, and you need to give the people the word, give them the truth, because that's what they need. Mm-hmm. As we get ready to close, to be preoccupied with heaven, we just said that, right? It means to be preoccupied with the one who reigns there, right? It says where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So be preoccupied with the God of heaven. Your Father. Be preoccupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be preoccupied that he's there, that he's seated, and that his purpose, his plans, his provisions, and his power is on display. Be preoccupied with that. Father God, whatever's happened here hasn't caused you to be powerless. Yeah. He hasn't taken away your plans. It doesn't alter your provisions. It doesn't eliminate your purposes. Verse 2 is how you keep seeking in verse 1. Verse 2 is how you carry out verse 1. This is how you keep seeking those things above. You do that by setting your mind. Same thing again. Present, active, imperative. Present means it's ongoing. Not just set, but keep setting your mind. Active meaning you're doing it. Imperative, it's a command. And I love how that one comment says, be intent on setting your mind on things above. And not on the things on the earth. Again, it's a command. It's a command. It's a command. We're expected to do this. Again, we must be deliberate. It must be intentional. It must be on purpose. It's going to take effort. Because if your mind is just going over here, it keep going over here. Now, I never watched the George Floyd video. I didn't want that sitting in my mind. I didn't want to see it. It was too painful to watch. And I know that image got in there. It would be hard to get out. We have to, just like I, with intention and on purpose and deliberately did not see that, we have to use that same intention, same purpose, and same deliberation to put the word of God in there. Be intent on setting your mind. That's one word. Set your mind is one word. It means to earnestly and intensively interest yourself in a certain direction with concern and obedience. I'm going to say that again. It means to earnestly and intensively interest yourself in a certain direction, which is things above, with concern and obedience. Let me say that again. I will if I need to. It means to earnestly and intensively interest oneself in a certain direction with concern and obedience. With concern and obedience. It also means to direct one's mind to a thing. In this case, heaven. To direct one's mind to a thing. Can you see the active thing? You must do this. Mm-hmm. That's why you can't be lazy as a Christian. You really can't be. You see that? You can't be lazy. Man, it's so easy to take days off and just, you know what I'm saying? Just turn on the TV and just turn on the radio and just, you know, just call up, you know, your little girlfriend, your little boyfriend, just talk, you know, and just, and usually you're on the phone for 2 hours talking nothing, nonsense. You don't feel any better when you get off the phone. And you get mad and say, why did I do that? It's just so easy to fall into just obeying our flesh. You know the old saying, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Yeah. That's why I use the word fight. He didn't say, saunter the good fight of faith. Just saunter on through it. Fight agonizomai, struggle with intense ambition. To struggle, to agonize with great intensity. Again, the word meaning that it fits it. It means to earnestly and intensively interest yourself in a certain direction, in this case toward heaven, with concern and obedience. Direct your mind toward a thing. And you're to do this constantly, consistently, continually. So let's read it in the present tense. It means to be earnestly and intensively interesting yourself in a certain direction, with continued concern and continued obedience. To be directing constantly, consistently, and continually as a force of habit, your mind toward a thing. The commentator commented, seek, verse from verse 1, marks the practical striving. Verse 2, set your mind marks the inward impulse and disposition. Set your mind, he said, marks the inward impulse, meaning your instinct and desire and disposition, your nature and your character. You want it to be a part of your nature. You want to be a part of your character. To keep setting your mind, to direct your mind on purpose. You can direct your mind to that which is unholy. You can direct it to that which is holy. We have control over our mind. Where are you going to direct your mind? Where are you going to intensively interest yourself? In what? It's up to you. See, that's the good news. It's not up to the devil. It's not up to the devil. It's not up to society. It's up to us. If we use the power of God and the faith that he's given us, and we choose to obey God, we're going to come out victorious. In spite of what's happening out there, our victory is not tied to change out there. That's good news. We can have victory in spite of there being no change. That's good news. I hope that encourages you. Our victory is not tied to the circumstances in this world. And so we need to be instinctual and desire that we seek, that we set our minds. Let it become a part of our nature and our character. You know, when we do that it becomes a part of our nature and a part of our character, you know what happens? We begin to see the world through an eternal perspective. In other words, a biblical worldview. And that's what you want. You can view the things of this world, the people of this world, the events of this world through the eyes of God. So he says, set and keep setting your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. As we commented week before last, the things on the earth are not in themselves sinful, but become sinful, if you will, if we seek them and think on them in preference to the things above.
Amen.
Does that make sense? When they take precedent over the things above, then in that case, you're entering into a realm of sinfulness. Mm-hmm. Because the command is keep seeking the things above. And if we're no longer seeking, remember, seeking means directing our mind to intensively interesting ourselves into the things of this world, we are in disobedience and we're in sin. We need to call that a sin. Father God, forgive us of that sin. Even though we don't look at that as sin, I'm just thinking about it, it ain't no big deal. Not if he says that we are to
set your mind.
Yes. Earnestly and intensively interest yourself in the things above and concern yourself. Father God, I pray as we close that I pray Colossians 1 and 2 help us then in view of the fact that we have been risen with Christ, that we will keep seeking the things above. We'll keep thinking about the things above. We'll keep meditating on the things above. We'll keep reasoning and inquiring about the things above, where our Lord is seated at your right hand. In the vein of keep seeking, Father, I ask that you help us to preoccupy ourselves with heaven, to be absorbed or engrossed to the exclusion of other things with heaven, to concern ourselves with heaven, to be consumed with heaven, to immerse ourselves with the things above. Then we ask to help us to be intent on setting our mind constantly, consistently, and continually. That we'll earnestly and intensively keep interesting ourselves in a certain direction, which is the things above. That we'll keep concerning ourselves with things above. That we'll continue obeying ourselves concerning the things above. That we'll direct our minds and keep directing our mind toward things above. And not on the things of this earth. Help us to not allow the things of this earth to take precedence to the things above. Help us to not direct our mind. Help us to not be earnestly and intensively interested in the things of this earth over the things above. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.